Well, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open the Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. We've been doing a study on the incarnation, that Jesus Christ needed to become the second Adam so he could fill the offices of prophet, priest, and king. And this morning, we're considering how Jesus needed to be born into this world, take on human flesh to fulfill the role of prophet. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see his great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him." Father, we're thankful for this prophecy that points us forward to Christ himself. Lord, as we consider how Christ fulfills this role, why it ought to send us out of here this morning with great joy, Lord, would you fill our hearts with the glory of Christ and the truth that he is. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So when you think of truth, what do you think of? What is truth? I'm guessing many of you might think of the Bible, right? If you're going to point to truth, where are you going to point? I think John MacArthur's tagline for his ministry is "Unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time." It's important for us to think about the importance of truth. Sometimes, or maybe you've never thought about this at Christmas time, we think about how Jesus needed to be born a human being to take our place on the cross and die for sin. But have you ever thought about the value of Christ fulfilling his role as prophet? Without truth, we cannot understand reality. It's dangerous. We can't understand ourselves, nor have any direction in pursuit of life or purpose. Most of the people you see in the world do not know the truth. They don't know the purpose of their life. They don't know the future of their life. They don't know how to evaluate why they do what they do. You see, we can take for granted, as believers, having access to truth. So the charge of the message is this: behold the wondrous mystery. The Word has become flesh, or the truth has become flesh. And so let's consider the prophet that was foretold first. Implicitly, from the structure of Scripture, we would expect a prophet to come. We would expect one like Adam, only better, to come. The first Adam acted as a prototype of a prophet, priest, and king. You might say, well, how is Adam a prophet? Well, he received words from God, and he was to relay those words to Eve. Now, he wasn't a very good prophet in that aspect, but he was given that role. He named the animals. Adam was a sort of priest in that he served in the garden sanctuary of Eden, which was a holy place where God dwelt on earth with man. And so when you're reading Genesis and you're looking at what Adam is called to do, and you read the rest of the scripture, it's like to work and keep the garden is the same terms described of the priests that were to work and keep the temple. And as king, Adam was to have dominion and rule. It's king language. To name and rule over God's creatures, to cultivate the ground as image bearers, and to spread that image by being fruitful and multiplying and spreading that dynasty over the whole earth, reflecting God's kingship and dominion. So, what we might say implicitly, if you were to read your Old Testament carefully, you would recognize, well, Adam had three offices that he held. So when we are waiting for the second Adam, we would expect that he would fulfill those offices as well. In fact, the Bible explicitly tells us that Jesus was to be this prophet, even greater than Moses. In Acts 3:22, as Peter's preaching to the Jewish people who have just killed Christ and rejected him, he quotes Deuteronomy 18. Here's what he says in Acts 3:22. He said, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.'" Now imagine how this sermon would have felt for those Jewish leaders. Peter just quoted Deuteronomy 18, where Moses prophesied that a prophet was coming and that if you didn't listen to his words, you would be destroyed by that one. This is what we just read in Deuteronomy 18:15. Listen to the warning in verses 18 of Deuteronomy 18. "And I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." There is great consequences not listening to this prophet that is prophesied to come. And you might say, well, what did Jesus come to proclaim? Well, at the beginning of Mark, in Mark 1:14, here's what we read. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God." The good news. This prophet is proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Listen to his words. Peter's preaching to the Jews, and he's saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." He's pleading with them. There's great consequences in not listening to this prophet that's to come. And so we see that he is, we would expect him from the very structure of the Old Testament, being the second Adam, and just the explicit prophecy, Moses is saying, someone else is going to fulfill this mediatorial role as prophet. Now, point two in your notes is this. The prophet who is the truth incarnate. Now, have you ever thought about this? When you think of truth, do you think of this? Or do you think of a person? Is this true? It's true. What does this book do? It points us to a person. It points us to Christ. Hebrews 1 says this in verse 1. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. In these last days, the last prophet is Christ Himself. And even in those verses, the specific words Jesus says are words from God, but the one who's speaking is also the one that created the universe, which means all the truth you can learn from general revelation by studying creation is truth that reveals Christ. He's the one who created it, as well as the one who proclaims the gospel. So as we consider, for example, John 1, this has kind of been the text that the last few sermons we've started from. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 1. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. And I just want you to read this in light of the fact that Christ is the truth. All right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All right? So right there, what's a prophet's role? To give you the words of God. But here it says, the Word is God. And then it says, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. So, I want you to look at verse 4. In Him, so in the Word, in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. See, for men to have light means you know truth. You have understanding. And there's no way anybody can have understanding without having life. Spiritual life. So in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness, or he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. You see that? That all might believe through him. Because if you're not connected to the life, you're not going to be able to believe the truth, nor know the truth. He was not the light. John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So here we see the true light as a person. And light is representing God's truth. And then it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, what should we already expect? If someone received him, if someone believed the truth, what does he have to have first? Life. Right? In him was life, we read, and he is the light of man. So, he says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood. You're not born into this life and light, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, there has to be a spiritual birth for there to be a receiving of Christ. And then we read in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right, we have the truth as a person here. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we receive grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. See, the only way we can know the Father is if we know the one who makes him known, through which is the Son. Notice it says Moses was the mediator of the law, but Moses could not give and mediate in the same way Christ could. Because though God spoke His law through Moses, the law cannot give life. And so when Jesus came, He came full of grace and truth. And what we see in these 18 verses is that truth is a person. It's the person who created the whole world and gives light to mankind. We're going to look at some more passages in John and just follow this theme. If you want to turn to John 3, beginning in verse 31, here's what we read. And we're unpacking this idea that truth took on human flesh. John 3:31 says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard. Yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. He's the prophet. For he gives the Spirit without measure. Now, who gives the Spirit without measure? It's actually helpful in the King James here. Listen to this. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So, in the person of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit, God did not give the Spirit to the human being Jesus, a little bit of the Spirit, but He gave Him the Spirit without measure. So this human being, as we're going to read on, has all truth. In Him is truth. And then we read this in John 4, the next chapter. In verse 17, we have the woman in John 4:17, the woman at the well, we have her confess Jesus to be a prophet. And let's look at what she says about him. We'll begin in verse 17. So he has just offered her water that'll make her thirst no more. She says, "Give me this water." And he says, "Go get your husband first." And what he's doing is he's exposing her sin to her, because she's had five husbands and the one she's living with is not her husband, right? The woman answered in verse 17, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And so then, now that she perceives that, she's got a theological question. This has obviously been debated all throughout her life, and now she's got a prophet in front of her. She's going to get the answer to the question. Here's what she asks. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, now get this, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ." And what does she know about this Messiah? Look at what it says. "When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." She was expecting the Messiah to be a prophet and that He would tell all things. And so we see Christ talked about in this way. For example, Paul in Colossians 2 says this. He prays that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. So the knowledge of God's mystery is Christ. And then he says this, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let me ask you a question. In your life, how much wisdom and truth do you seek outside of Christ? You kind of have Christ for church. You know, you get your spiritual wisdom from Christ at church. But then you seek out all this other truth out there. And my question is, do you believe that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Is that the way you look at the world that you live in? Here's what he says in chapter 3, Colossians 3. He says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Now listen to this again. "Let the word of Christ dwell richly, or in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In whatever you do, in word or deed," now look at what he says, "do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So when we let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us, one of the things we can do is admonish one another in all wisdom. And then we're called to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is really practical. Have you ever had a pair of sunglasses that's maybe like bright, tinted bright yellow or pink or red? You put them on, everything you see is tinted that color. When you let the truth of Christ dwell richly in you, it's like putting on Christ glasses. And so now everything you do, you're doing in light of the one who created all things and who is the embodiment of truth himself. But I think, as I was thinking about this week, I think how often do we take our Christ glasses? Those are for devotions. Those are for Sunday morning. But are they for the workplace? Are they for parenting and these difficult relationships or marriage? Or you lose your wallet? Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked for your wallet and you find yourself so frustrated? And then it's like, well, I could pray and ask God to help me. And then it is amazing how often God humbles us in that moment. It's like, oh, here it is. He's not a great accessory to our life. Christ is not an accessory. He's not just one who can teach us about a path to a good place called heaven. He is the way. He is the path. He's not just one who can add a little bit of truth to your life. He is the embodiment of truth. That's why Paul says stuff like this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Once Paul knew, life, it's about Christ. The whole thing. Everything I see, He created. Everything I need, He's provided for me. Spiritually and physically. Every one of your days is numbered. You realize that? Written in a book before there is ever one of them. And God will sustain your needs until that day when God ordained to take you home. Paul says this in Philippians 3, but whatever gain I had, you never met someone as smart as the Apostle Paul. He knew so much of the Bible, of the Old Testament, of what he was an expert in, right? Here, listen to what he said. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. And what truth was it that was so glorious to Him? Listen to what He says. And be found in Him, having a righteousness, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul says, everything I live for, I count as rubbish, because now I know this one thing. That I'm saved, I'm secure, not because I was good enough under the law, but because Christ, a righteousness not his own, is given to him through faith. Incredible truth that just shaped the way Paul understood his life in the world. In fact, at one point, Jesus said to the Jews, He said, "You search the Scriptures because that you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." He looks at him and he says, "You study this book and you study this book and you study this book, and you think the Word of God is going to give you life. And it's these words in here that point to the one you're talking to." He's like, "All those words, those are about me. You lawyers who are the expert in the law, I fulfill the law. I've kept it perfectly." And so we're not surprised in John 14:6 when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the embodiment of truth. So when I ask you the question, when you think of truth, what do you think of? You should think of the person of Jesus Christ. The truth is Christ. I'll give you one more verse. I know I've given you a lot showing this. Actually, I lied. Two more. 1 John 5:20. Listen to how John says it. "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols." And so John wants us to know that we may know Him who is true. And that when you trust in Him who is true, you are in Him. When Jesus was just about to be crucified, turned over to be crucified, there's this really incredible interaction with Pilate. Here's what we read in John 18:37. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." That's one of his roles, right? Prophet, priest, and king. He says, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born." All right, there's Christmas, right? "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." All right? That's one of the reasons the Bible gives us for why Jesus was born, to bear witness to the truth. And then he says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Now think of this. Imagine a group of people that someone said, "Those people are of the truth." And you say, "Well, what truth are you talking about?" "Well, they got this encyclopedia. They all believe what's in the encyclopedia." Because if you're told that someone is of the truth, you want to know what truth are you talking about. Listen to what Jesus says here. He says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." See? Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" See? He doesn't get it. He's talking to truth. Jesus just told him, "Everyone who listens to my voice is of the truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" Now here's the irony of this text. Listen. After he had said this, after he said, "What is truth?" he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." What is truth? And then he just says, "I don't find any guilt in this guy." See, he declares with his own mouth, in a sense, that he is true. And so, point to the prophet who is the truth incarnate. That's why when Paul says stuff like this in Romans 10, how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of... What do you think it says? It says through the word of Christ. See, the only way a person can be saved, you can read the law of Moses all day long. But if you don't know the one who fulfilled the law of Moses and trust in him, there is no life. You see, the Jews that spent their life studying this but didn't realize it pointed to Jesus did not have eternal life. And so we preach Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So, final point, point three, the prophet of eternal significance. All right, just we could say a lot here, but I want to point out two things. I want you to think of the prophet as judge and savior. We'll actually start with savior. All right, so why do we need a prophet? One, because we're ignorant. The London Baptist Confession says this: this number and order of offices is necessary, for in respect of our ignorance, we need his prophetical office. All right, if we're ignorant, we need the truth. And so we need Christ. Proverbs 4:18 speaks of those who don't know the truth. It says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. See, all the unbelievers you know in your life, They're suffering in a fallen world. They know they're suffering. They know they want relief, but they don't know what they're stumbling over, and they don't know what the truth is, and they don't know what the answer is. They don't know over what they stumble, nor do they think that they are under the sway of a powerful spiritual enemy that is blinding their eyes, let alone an enemy that is actually their father and the father of lies. You realize that? Every lost person, not only do they not know what the answer to what they're looking for is, they don't even have any clue that their father is the devil who lies to them. You see? You'd only understand that if God gave you eyes to the truth. Listen to how Jesus says this. John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. Who needs to be set free? Captives. And they go on to say, well, what are you talking about? Abraham's our father. We're not a slave to anyone. And he says, well, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You see? They didn't realize they were held captive. And then in verse 43 of John 8, we read this. Jesus says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Now, what does it mean they cannot bear to hear his word? It doesn't mean they're deaf. Here's what Jesus says. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then Jesus says, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. He's essentially saying, the reason why you don't hear me is because you don't understand the language I'm speaking. You speak fluent lies, and I'm telling the truth, and so you can't believe me. Your father is the devil, is what Jesus is saying to them. And then he says this in verse 46, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear him is that you are not of God. Which once again gets back to the theme, only God can give spiritual life and light and understanding and truth. And he only does it through the Son. Only through the gospel. The good news is about Christ and his work. So Paul says stuff like this to Timothy when he's talking to him about correcting his opponent. He says, correct your opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, which means a change of mind, leading to the knowledge of truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. You know, I've spent a good chunk of this week thinking about hell, as this debate is about whether hell is eternal torment, with Kirk Cameron's comments that believing that there will be punishment after death, but then a person will die, go out of conscious torment after a while. And so as I've been looking at that and thinking about what the Scripture says about hell, there will be no rest day or night. Eternal torment. And the reason why it has to be eternal is because the one we sinned against is eternal. That's what justice demands. But why am I saying this? Jesus was born as the truth. And Paul just said that people are held captive by the devil. And do you realize if truth was not sent into this world in the person of Christ, we would have no way out of that captivity. We would be totally blinded without any light or spiritual life. And so we must put on Christ. He's not an accessory of spiritual truth that you need to remember now and then when you need some spiritual food. Now, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him. If you're struggling in your marriage, there's wisdom hidden in Christ alone, that you need. If you're struggling in parenting, or in your job, or grandparenting, or school, young people, there's no part of your life where you don't need to be looking at it through the lens of being in Christ, who is the truth. Listen to this verse. This is unbelievable. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural person does not accept the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? but we have the mind of Christ. You see, it's good to be united to Christ in His death and resurrection for forgiveness of sin. But it is also good to be united to Christ, who is the truth, who can expose Satan's lies in our life. And the whole world will be judged through this prophet. Acts 3:22 once again says this. Moses said, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." In Acts 17, we read this. "The times of ignorance are overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed the day on which He'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given us assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We'll hear you again about it.'" And I wonder what it is for you. So Christ came as the truth. He lived perfectly under the law. Came for sinners. Anyone who will put their faith and trust in Him will have eternal life. But you will be judged by that one prophet. Just as Deuteronomy 18 said, God will require it of every soul that does not listen to the Son, to the prophet. And what's the prophet command? Repent and believe the good news. Turn from looking in to find hope. Look at yourself, see how you fall short, and see your perfect righteousness, Jesus Christ, and place your faith in Him. Father, we're thankful. None of us would be here if Christ didn't fulfill His prophetic role. We would have no access to life or truth. Father, we realize we're in the minority in the world. Most people hear the gospel and mock. But some believe. And those who believe, we find out, have been born of God. And so that's why we come and gather to worship You. We give You all praise, for You're the God of all grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.